Welcome to Chapter 2 of Cross Politic Worldview Shotgun Series. I'm waiting for it. It's coming. Okay,
here it comes.
I can say a little more.
Here it comes.
Yeah, I'm counting bars right now is what I'm doing. Because it's about to happen.
Here it goes.
You got to hear this 18 more times. All right.
Oh, that's so good.
Chapter 2, Cross Politic Worldview Shotgun Series. In a film that I like called The Dark Tower, one of my favorite actors, Idris Elba, plays a character called Roland Dischains. And Roland he's the last gunslinger of his age and of his time in this ancient world. And he gets transported into today's modern America, which...
Oh, boy.
That's a story all by itself. But he finds himself on a city bus going to his location. And next to him is this girl that's dressed, let's just say, poorly. Oh, yeah. And he's about to get off the bus. And right as he's about to get off the bus, he stops and he turns to her and he says, "You've forgotten the face of your father." Whoa. And that scene to me speaks volumes about our current state today as Christians. We have forgotten the face of our father, which has left us in this confused state about our purpose.
Yeah, what are we for?
What are we for, right? So what does Christian worldview have to do with the image of God? Why does it matter if we, you know, if we bear any sort of resemblance to God? Aren't we just supposed to save people? Get them saved to go to heaven, right. Escape planet Earth, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the Bible teaches that God, made us in his image according to his likeness, Genesis, 1:26. And unlike any other creature, we bear the imprint of God on us.
That's right.
This means that there's inherent, permanent connection between God and all men, all of us. Whether Christian or non-Christian, it's inherent connection.
Can't escape it.
It's inescapable.
You're made in God's image.
That's right. And at no point can any human being say that he or she doesn't need God. All people are related to God because we are made in his image. It's the pot and the potter. The pot cannot reject the potter. The art cannot reject the artist. And we'll get more on this when you talk about it in the chapter 3 on covenant when we get to the next episode.
And here's the thing, Chuck. Salvation means coming to know Jesus, who is the image of God. So you said, don't we just need to get people saved?
Right.
Well, the New Testament, we talked about this a little bit in chapter 1, says, though, that Jesus is the image of God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Colossians 1:15. So knowing Jesus in some way ties directly into the idea of the image of God. The whole point of being made in God's image in the beginning was making our Father's face visible in this world. This is what Jesus came to do.
If you're listening.
He is the image of the invisible God, but that's what we were made for. Mm-hmm. So fundamentally, when we talk about who we are answering the question, what are we for? You know, sometimes people talk about the image of God, right. And they start talking about this divine spark.
Right.
This like little halo or something like that. Right. But when Genesis says we're made in the image of God, it immediately starts talking about what we're for, what we're supposed to do.
That's right. That's
so
good.
And again, the New Testament says that this has everything to do with salvation. We aren't just saved to nothing in particular. We're not saved to just go to heaven when we die. We're actually saved in order that the image of the Father might be renewed in us.
That's right. Mm.
Yeah. And so the Bible teaches that we are saved unto good works. So Ephesians 2 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith." And everybody loves that verse.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
And this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But then this verse, "For we are his workmanship," right? We're his piece of art.
Right.
"Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we should walk in them." Ephesians 2, 8 through 10.
Real quick, connect that a little more to the garden, right? God created us in his image, and he puts Adam and Eve in the garden to do what?
Right. To be fruitful, right. multiply, fill the earth.
Take care of the garden.
Right.
Yeah. Adam lost that, and so those good works that you're talking about, now that they're restored, are really just spiritual things. They're just spiritual investments, right? Like,
what? what are you talking about?
You're not even going to let me finish. He's like, no.
You're ruining this worldview series right
seriously
now.
Seriously, though, aren't we supposed to be just going on mission trips to make sure the world is saved? Aren't we supposed to be giving to the deacon's fund? Aren't we supposed to be singing in the choir? I mean, that's what those good works are for, right? We don't expect to see tangible fruit from that here on earth anymore since the fall, right?
No.
Okay, and we'll move on.
Well, part of this also is goes back to the art and artist imagery. Mm-hmm. God is the artist, and then he acts. What does he do as an artist? He makes material things.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. He makes physical.
He makes flamingos.
Right.
Right?
Penguins.
And penguins.
Yes.
Right? And asteroids. Right. And zebras. Right? I mean, so when God. Like, When we say it's just spiritual things, yeah. quote unquote, I'm doing quotes yeah. here if you can see me.
They can.
You know, spiritual, heavenly, ethereal things. We are, in a sense, we're denigrating God,
yeah,
our Father, right. yeah. because our Father makes stuff.
Right.
Right. He, you know, he makes, you know, wheat. He makes ants.
Right.
He makes mountains. He makes rock. He makes stuff. Yeah. And then he says, hey, be like me. Work with this stuff. So good works, the good works that we're saved unto include things like building suspension bridges. You were saved. Some of you were saved to build suspension bridges.
Right.
Some of you were saved in order to write computer code. Oh, some man. Of you were yep. saved to change lots of diapers.
Right.
Lots of them.
Oh, yep. that's trouble.
You're saved to make love to your spouse.
Amen.
This is how we image our Father.
Yeah.
He's an artist. He's a creator. He's an engineer. He's a builder. He's a writer. He does all these things. This is how we image our Father. The good works God has prepared before us, prepared for us beforehand, are as broad and as exotic as the universe is, because God is our Father.
Man.
He's the artist. He's our maker. He's our creator. So salvation means that Jesus has taken away the curse of sin.
Mm.
Standing in our place, dying in our place on the cross, so that we can get to work in this world, taking dominion, being fruitful, multiplying, filling the earth with yeah. the goodness of our Father, which was his intent from the beginning of creation. That's what we're called to. We're called to take dominion.
Hold on one second. Dominion. That's a mean word.
Dominion.
You got to connect that for me. So
say it with me. Dominion.
I can't. No, I don't well, think people think, people think, want, don't want to say dominion.
And I think before we get to dominion real quick, this is why it's so important to anchor all our views, all our thoughts, all our desires, all our goals right. into scripture. And right. especially like Genesis, basically like Genesis chapter 1 through 11 is the whole Bible. In some sense.
Sure. A microcosm.
A microcosm of the right. rest of scripture.
We say image of God, and then people just start making stuff up.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Like, for me, right. image of God means
yeah.
right. What's a magical your spark. Truth?
But like, yeah. let's read the Bible. Like, yeah, yeah. Now, here's the thing. The reason we don't like the word dominion, is because it comes from the Latin word dominus. And not only do we not like Latin, but we don't like what that word means, which means yeah. Lord.
Yeah.
It means master. And we really don't like those words.
Yeah. No, right. absolutely.
For all kinds
and so
of reasons.
We need to take Lord over the earth. We need to take dominion yeah. over
Lordship,
the earth. Lordship right. yeah. over yeah. the earth.
We need okay. to be masters yeah. of the earth. And the reason we hate these words is because we hate authority.
No, man. Mm.
We yeah. hate authority. Yeah. And the reason we hate authority is ultimately because we hate the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Ouch.
Our rebellious, sinful hearts hate the fact that Jesus is Lord.
Right.
He's master.
Right.
And we hate the fact that he has made us. This goes back to the potter pot point that you were making, artist art point.
Yeah.
He's our Lord. He's our master. We did not make ourselves. He made us. Psalm yeah. 100 says.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is in the ultimate cosmos salvation scheme of things. We have the old Adam and the new Adam.
Right.
And we have the old authority, the old earth. The old heavens and earth, and the new heavens and new earth.
Right, new yeah, creation.
So, that's,
right.
so before we move on, I want to move on to. So then, what are we for? But before right. we do that, explain that we lost because a lot of Christians don't like that word. Not just because I think they love Jesus. Some of them really love Jesus, but they're afraid that this dominion has been lost. It's been gone in Adam, and we won't get it back right. to do those things again in this world.
Except that Jesus says. That, I mean, the whole when we say Jesus is Lord, what we're saying is that so Jesus is God, but Jesus is also the new Adam.
Mm.
Right.
And so
the lordship that Adam threw away
yeah.
and misused. Right. He used his authority. He used his
or
power.
Or didn't use.
Right. Right.
Or protecting
didn't,
Eve.
Yeah. He right. abdicated. Good, good yeah, didn't yeah. protect Eve. Didn't yeah. protect the garden. But Jesus, that's been restored in Adam, in the new Adam.
So where would you point to Jesus. Say that's been dominion has officially been restored?
Well, one of the clearest passages, I mean, you've got Philippians 2 where he's been set
King
at the
of kings.
He's the he, and you know, he's reigning at the Father's right hand.
Yeah. Every knee will
until
bow.
Every knee bows and yeah. every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is
Lord.
Lord.
Yep. Master.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Lord of all. But in Matthew 28, this is one of the best ones. As Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been
given to me.
Heaven and earth.
He's the Lord of it all. Therefore, go make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to do what? Obey
everything. Yeah,
obey. Right. So there, when you confess that Jesus is Lord, you're confessing that he's your master and you're going to obey him, teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded them.
Yeah.
And there's baptizing in there as well.
So Jesus was given the authority, and then he passed that authority on to us.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Right. We go under his authority.
So we're going to talk a lot more about that later. But so right now, what does the image of God tell us that we're here for? Mm.
Genesis 1:26 says this. So we should read the Bible and we should say, what does it say? God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. There's that word again. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. Mm. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
And this includes, you know, plumbing, right? This goes back to what you were saying earlier. This includes computer coding, everything. It's an extension of God's authority in our lives.
And notice that the image of God is directly related to our dominion.
There goes that word.
Okay? So when the Bible says image of God, we are supposed to think dominion.
Right.
God made us for dominion. That's what we're for. And notice that this is where God's blessing is found. Yeah. Right? It's where God's blessing is found. Yeah. God blessed them and gave Adam and Eve this task. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over all of creation. Mm-hmm. This means getting married and having babies.
And baptizing them. Now, again, we'll get there.
Again, because of the fall into sin, Adam disobeyed. Adam failed. Adam and Eve sinned. Because of that fall into sin, men and women do not exercise this dominion faithfully or obediently.
Yeah, right.
And this is, again, part of the fear that we have.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we know, you know, the old adage that, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, in a fallen world, there's truth to that.
Yeah.
The sons of Adam do use their authority and their power and their dominion wickedly.
Yeah. No one's arguing.
But it can go both ways.
Right. Yeah. So this is where sinful domination comes from. We can use that word domination.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe as a way of describing that sinful dominion.
Aspect of it, yeah.
Domination. Okay. Okay. Men dominate one another and men dominate women and so forth, right? We sinfully dominate the creation. We abuse it. We abuse the authority that God has given us. But that doesn't mean then that we run away from authority.
No.
Right. The response is not some sort of agnosticism.
Right.
Right.
Or apathy. Uh-huh. Right? We're not to run away from authority then and say authority is evil. No. Right. This is precisely the authority that Jesus came to restore. Right. Mm. He comes to restore and give this authority back to us in a godly way, in a way that honors creation, in a way that blesses creation. That's what we're for.
Yeah. This is all Old Testament, though. So I don't know if your Bible has the New Testament.
I said Jesus.
Yeah. We brought in Matthew 28, Philippians 2.
but show me this in the New Testament, because I think a lot of people right now are saying, look, that's been wiped away. That's done.
Yeah.
We're under a whole new structure now.
But Paul says, Colossians 3, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Colossians 3:9. What are we being renewed into?
Our creator.
The image of our creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So this is salvation.
Right?
Right? We're being renewed. Paul says
the face of our father, right?
That's the face of our father. It's been renewed in us. Paul says that putting on the new self in Jesus is all about learning what it means to be made in the image of our creator. We already talked about Matthew 28.
Yeah.
Again, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, therefore go disciple the nation. So not only are we saved to these good works, and not only are we saved to take dominion in order to image our Father in this world, but also these good works are holy.
That's important.
I'm going to say that again.
Yeah,
these good works are holy. This is what the Protestant reformers called the priesthood of all believers.
That's right.
All lawful work done in obedience to God for his glory is holy and sacred to God. You know, computer programming done to the glory of God in obedience to his law is building the kingdom. It's holy. Right. It's sacred. We are a priest, because wherever you go, you have the face of your Father.
Right.
So let's put some flesh on this. what does it look like? More, a little, flesh out a little more what that actually looks like.
Okay. I want to say there's two additional things I want to say here. One is that we fill out what we've already said. So first off, the world is a treasure map.
Right.
The world is a treasure map. We said in chapter one that the fact that the triune God created the world is the basis for all science, technology, arts, politics, economics, because it all has his coherence and rationality and order.
Right.
Right. Remember, we talked about how he holds it all together. Everything coheres in him. Everything is upheld by his word.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it all makes sense because God is the God of it. But we also noted that the wisdom and glory of these things is still really deep and mysterious. It's not just there right on the surface, right?
Right, right. It has some depth
to it. You're not just born and you understand economics.
That's right.
You're not just born you understand political theory. No, these things need to be discovered. They need to be dug up. They need to be found.
They need to have dominion taken over them.
That's right.
Right.
So,
right.
So Genesis 2 opens with this treasure map. Right, there's a river running down out of Eden that divides into four heads, and there's gold down one of those rivers, right? And there's Ethiopia down another river.
In Lucky Charms?
Down another. Maybe, I don't know. Actually, there was, right? Because somebody came along and found it.
Yep.
God bless them.
Sugar. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Right?
But these things that God's pointing out to Adam, Adam doesn't even know what these things are.
Yeah.
These are things that he's going to explore. He's going to discover. He's going to dig stuff out of the ground and be like, hey, what is this shiny stuff, right? What is this beautiful stuff? What is this precious metal? What can I do with it? So since you're made in the image of God, you were made to find this glory. God sketched a map for Adam and Eve and told them, go find the glory. Go dig it up.
Yeah.
Right? You were made to find the glory that your father filled this world with, right? Science, technology, zoology, education,
all
arts,
the ologies,
beauty, all the ologies,
politics,
medicine, art, you know, just keep going.
And this is why the sin of laziness is actually so such a rebellion
you're
against
lying
God.
About your father,
and no one likes lazy people.
No.
You know, and you know why? Because the idea of dominion is inescapable. Everyone knows they're supposed to be doing something to take dominion.
Now, one of the ways you image your father is you take Sabbath rest.
That's right.
But Sabbath is not lazy.
Right? It's because you worked.
But because God worked, he rested.
Yeah. Right.
And then the command is, therefore, you work like that and you rest like that. And when you do it that way, you're imaging your father. You know, if you dig the right stuff out of the ground, and you pack it all together in the right way, you can make an iPhone.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, just pack it all together. I mean, that's what, isn't that what Bill Gates did or whatever? No, that was Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, Bill Gates. Yeah,
he did Windows.
He made other stuff.
His phone wasn't very good.
Depending on who you ask, Steve Jobs didn't do anything like that. But so what's the other thing?
Oh, Adam was not good alone.
Oh, praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. Wait, that needs a set. Where's it at?
That for 25 years.
All the way through, right? All the way through Genesis 1. Good, good, good.
Not good. Good.
Not good.
Yeah.
It was not good for man to be alone. Not good for Adam to be alone. So God created us, male and female. And this is central to the image of God.
Yeah.
Right. Only does he say dominion, but he says male and female, he created them.
So real quick before we move on then, how does singlehood kind of play into this? How does singlehood...
singles are not made in the image of God.
Moving on.
Playing. You're still not good alone.
Yeah.
You're still not good alone.
But doesn't that make people who are single feel not as worthy or not as valuable to God?
No, that goes back to all the dominion stuff.
Uh-huh.
So when you're working like your father, as a single man or as a single woman, if you're being fruitful in all kinds of ways,
right?
You're decorating homes, you're designing homes, you're building homes, building, you're working with numbers, you're organizing things, you're making beauty. I mean, all these things, you're imaging your father.
Yeah.
Whether you're married or not.
Yep.
But God...
There's a particular emphasis, a particular way.
Ordinarily speaking, this is what God calls us to. But no, there's no downgrade. There's not you become super spiritual when you get married.
Right.
No. I mean, we believe that there's a blessing there.
Right.
But to those whom God calls to be single, he calls them to be fruitful and blessed as they image their father as single people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. But the thing is that I think that we need to grasp is there in Genesis 1 when God says that he created man in his image, male and female, he created them, and then immediately gives them this task of taking dominion. We need to recognize that central to recovering the authority that God made us for is recovering what it means to be made male and female. There's a reason why the world is at war with this.
Oh, man.
Because they don't want us to take up the authority we were made for. But when we embrace our sexuality, when we embrace the glory of being made male or being made female, we are taking up the power we were made for, the authority we were made for. There's nothing more dangerous to the kingdom of darkness than men and women who embrace their respective glories.
Right.
There's That's nothing right. more dangerous. Then, when yeah. a woman says, I am a woman made in the image of God, I was made for motherhood. Right. I was made to nurture life. I was made to bring glory and beauty
right.
to the world of man made because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Right. That's dangerous.
Right.
And this is why the world hates that, right. despises it. And when a man says, I am a man made in the image of God, I am made to be strong. I am made to use my body and to let it be broken open.
Yeah.
And sacrifice, using my strength to serve and provide and protect those around me. There's nothing more dangerous than that. That's why our world hates that.
And that's that. But that's also how we are getting all these results with sexuality in our culture, with homosexuality in our culture, right. with marriage, with
Absolutely.
Transgender, with transgendered issues.
Exactly.
And the world's looking for any way to get their image off their bodies.
Right.
To get their image, to break their image for their right. maker.
They hate God's authority over them.
That's right.
And but by doing so, they also hate the blessing he made them for.
They don't want, yeah.
That, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why the top of the list of places where God says ordinarily this is where people take dominion is the gift of marriage and childbearing. But this is the powerhouse of glory.
Now
but,
it seems a little bit like part of the response here could be you're just reducing us to marriage and babies.
I was talking about suspension bridges a minute ago. Nah.
You're simplifying things.
You know, if you want people to help you build suspension bridges, you need children who grow up to be men
and women. Right. Yeah.
You don't get that from not having kids.
That's
Somebody's got to have some babies here.
And some of the deal is, I mean, we're actually literally in our day and age, we are dealing with countries that have population problems.
Yeah. That's right.
And not overpopulation problems.
Yep.
Underpopulation
That's right.
problems.
That's right.
Right. There are countries in Europe, right, that are starting to like give like tax incentives to people so that they'll just have a child, like more than two kids.
Russia gives a day off for people to go home and have fun and make babies.
Right. I mean, but seriously, like some people are actually starting to do the math.
I say Russia, I meant Putin.
But what are you understanding? You're understanding how dominion works, right?
But we could have read Genesis and said you need families, you need marriages and children. I mean, why are we having problems with school shootings?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we don't have intact families.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
right.
We have unloved fatherless children.
Right.
Right. This is the problem. So at the top of the list of things that God calls us to is marriage and childbearing, all things being equal. But we live, of course, in a culture that has embraced fruitlessness and impotence as the highest good.
That's a curse, by the way.
It's a curse, right? Men look at porn.
That's right.
That's right.
Rather than taking on the challenge of loving a real woman.
Mm.
Right?
Ooh, say that again.
Talk about laziness. Men look at porn rather than taking on the challenge of loving a real woman.
Fruitlessness.
Yeah. Fruitlessness. Yeah. Yes. And it's laziness too.
There you go.
Right? Yeah. It's laziness.
That's right.
I can make a woman in my own image.
You better say that, man.
Right?
You trying to get a bunch of these, ain't you?
This is right. I mean, and this is the thing. This is the problem with Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. They don't understand the image of God.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I know there are real Christians in those denominations who really know Jesus, but it's a mess because images, icons, are lifeless, dead.
Yeah.
And what that means is you can make religion in your own image.
That's right.
A statue, a painted picture, don't talk back to you.
That's right.
And what does Psalm 115 say about that?
You become like what you worship.
Exactly. That's right.
Psalm 115 says that. You make them, you worship them, you become like what you worship.
Yep.
And because we worship the living God, we love living images.
Right.
Sometimes people say that Protestants don't believe in icons. That's not true. We believe in living icons.
The right one.
Living images, the ones that God made.
That's right.
But you know what? They're kind of messy. They're kind of challenging.
Yeah.
They're kind of difficult. They mess their diapers.
Yep.
You know, they fuss.
Come
they
on
wake
now.
You up at night.
Come on.
Right?
Now.
A real woman is challenging to love.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
A real man is challenging to love.
Absolutely.
But you know what? God calls us to this glory, right? So men look at porn rather than loving real women.
Lazy.
Women get on the pill rather than embracing the glory of motherhood.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh. Right? Rather than saying, I'm a woman, I am made for fruitfulness.
Right.
Right? They're
lazy.
Suppressing it. Oh. They're suppressing it.
Lord have mercy.
Right? The curse of sodomy and lesbianism is a curse of fruitlessness.
Yeah.
Abortion, of course, is the curse of fruitlessness. We are literally destroying the image of the living God.
Amen.
Right? We are rejecting. We are saying we will not have this.
The face of our Father.
Right? Yeah. Mm. We hate the face of our Father, and we literally tear it in pieces. We suppress it. We hold it at arm's length.
All right, man, you're getting me depressed here a little bit. What's up?
Well, I'm not done yet, actually. I want to bring this home even to Christians.
Yeah.
Because, you know, too many Christians have embraced soft versions of this fruitlessness. Okay? Even Christians, they say, oh, I don't abort, or I don't. But after living for years without kids, we plan to have two kids, and we have absolutely no vision for our families being centers of Christian dominion.
Oh, man.
But yeah. God puts being fruitful and filling the earth at the top of Adam's list.
Yep.
Mm. Now, of course, we already said this, but in the providence of God, some are not called to marriage, and some are not able to have their own biological children. But you know what? There are lots of orphans out there.
Yeah.
Right there, my wife and I have done foster care.
Yeah.
My brother is adopted. Right. There's orphans that need the love of Christian families.
Amen. Right? Amen.
God puts being fruitful and filling the earth at the top of Adam's list.
That's right.
Remember this. Even just think about this. All things being equal, a Christian home full of little people is God's powerhouse for raising covenant warriors.
I like that. Amen. I like that's that really you said good. That. Amen. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Something about me just prefers the King James when on that verse.
It sounds powerful.
It's just, man, still the enemy and the avenger, right? Why is the church weak?
Mm.
Well, we've rejected the very means that God has given us to be powerful.
Yep.
It's too hard, though.
Well, good things are hard.
No.
And I like how Psalm 127 puts this. You know, the children are like arrows. You're raising a bunch of children. You're raising a bunch of arrows. And what do arrows do? They fly.
Yeah.
They shoot.
They strike.
And so we're raising our kids. When part of being fruitful means sending our kids out of the house into the world to go with us to conquer the gates of hell.
Right.
Mm. Our kids are supposed to be sharp arrows, not dull, not blunt.
Right.
Not broken arrows.
And this is why Christian education is so important.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But we have to have a vision for this and see, like, this is what God made us for. We're made in his image, and so we're made to be fruitful. We're made to fill the earth. We're made to subdue it. We're made to rule it with wisdom and godliness and holiness. And all of this, of course, implies community. Because
that's right.
We can't do this on our own. It's not just families as islands.
Right.
Right? We're made. The image of God means we're made for family, but we're also made for covenant community.
Come on now.
We're made for the church.
That's right.
We are saved individually, but we are saved into the community of the church. And it is in this community that the image of God is being renewed in all of us.
And that image, you know, God is a triune God. He has community. And when we imitate him, you know, him in that way by having community here on earth.
Right.
Right. In our community, in our covenant community, in our covenant churches.
Right. God even, the glory is that God himself made community for himself in people,
right?
Which is crazy,
right?
Right, that we were made for fellowship with him,
right?
And
that's
he loves that, and so we are made for fellowship with him, and we're also made for fellowship with one another. I love this 2 Corinthians 3 passage and also into chapter 4. And we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image, his image, from one degree of glory to another. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is what's happening. The face of our Father is being renewed in us.
Cross Politic, chapter 2, Face of Your Father's Worldview Shotgun Series.